Science University.
Control what's going on.
And I wanted to, before I turn it over to Steve Bender of Legislative Fiscal to go over the budget, Mr. Bender has updated, you should have in front of you the overview for the Oregon Health and Science University, and in the green, you'll notice that, I mean, we had discussions with, in the subcommittee about in the School of Medicine, the increase to 75% in-state enrollment in the MD class, and it turns out that in the current class, the number of in-state students is about 70%, and in the class before that, it was about 70%. So, since there was a desire to restore some of the funding for AHEC, that line item, that 1.153, was moved over to AHEC. And so the hope is that today we'll do that amendment, and that's what this is attempting to show. Everything else in terms of the School of Nursing and the School of Medicine and Dentistry stays the same. So I just wanted to make sure that was kind of clear that what that says right there.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Walker.
As long as you're being clear, I would like you to be clear about the expansion of the MD class size to 160 students. The additional 40 students are not being funded. Is that correct?
That is correct.
The 40 students, the 20 to OSU and the 20 to the U of O, and not being funded, but we're funding AHEC.
Correct.
Okay. As indicated, because of that, I'm now on this budget.
Okay. Thank you. And I think Melissa is going to go over the...
I think that's serious.
Okay. That's okay.
So you don't make this decision.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. As the chair has mentioned to you, we have distributed a one-page table that does show both the co-chair's budget and the governor's budget. These are figures you've seen before, and as the chair described, there's a third column there on the right, which I've labeled legislatively adopted budget, but would not become that, of course, unless this body approves it. That represents a change from the co-chair's budget. It is not, it's the same total dollars as is in the co-chair's budget, but it redistributes some of the funds, approximately $1,153,000, from the School of Medicine to the Area Health Education Centers program. I do have, those of you who have brought your notebooks, if you look back on the yellow pages that have the LFO recommendation on them, if you do not have that with you, I did bring extra copies of that. This time it's in white, but it's the same first two pages from that. Okay, does everyone have a copy either in the yellow or in the white?
Yeah, that Bob. Is that mine with me?
Okay. This is the memo dated May 1st, which is reflective of what is in the co-chair's budget column. There is not a new memo to specifically address the changes that you see there in green between the co-chair's budget and the column on the right. But I think we can describe that sufficiently and answer any questions that committee members may have. But the front page of the memo identifies what the funding level would be if you approved the budget as it is adjusted for the changes in green. Since it doesn't change the total dollar amount, it doesn't change the amount that is shown on the May 1st memo. The approval would include $86,561,620 of general fund for OHSU and $31,000 $978,666 of other funds, those being Tobacco Master Settlement Agreement funds for debt service on OHSU bonds. And the paragraph under that table on page one does also hold that this recommendation is 14.5% above the essential budget level and an 18% increase over the current biennium level. There are three general fund line item appropriations in the bill, and later in this memo I'll be talking to you about what the appropriate numbers are for each of those three line items. But with your indulgence, Mr. Chair, I can go through these recommendations. There are a total of 12 of them, of which you've already approved the 12th and final one relating to performance measures. But I will be happy to go through this and indicate where things would have changed due to the change in the agreement. The first recommendation is unchanged. And this, by the way, is going through the rows of this particular table that we handed out for you today. So the first recommendation is the first line on that table, which states that, that's the second one. The first recommendation, I'm getting ahead of myself, is that LFO recommends that the committee approve the essential budget level in the governor's budget as a base for approving funding for new initiatives or funding reductions. What this would mean is, if you do approve this particular recommendation, you would be approving the use of Tobacco Master Settlement Agreement funds to pay debt service on the bonds for the Oregon Opportunity Program, since that is a component in the central budget level. And you would be approving, in the table on page one, what's in the middle column there, the essential budget level amounts of funding for a general fund, upon which all of these other recommendations are increases above the base. So this is essentially approving the base upon which the increases can then be considered, and we do recommend that you approve essentially the essential budget level for OHSU as the start before considering the packages, policy packages.
And just so the committee knows, we're going to, you know, go through these and then we'll vote on the totality. So.
Okay. Mr. Chair, the second recommendation is on page two of this memo. It's listed under Policy Option 101. And that is, we recommend that you approve $4,120,000 general fund to support costs associated with the permanent expansion of the MD program class to no fewer than 120 students. We also note that the committee should note an understanding that this is a one-time funding request that will be phased out in the development of the 2009-11 biennium budget request, and that the university will maintain the 120-student cohort in the MD program as long as general fund support is maintained at the essential budget level in the future. So that is our first recommendation, which is equivalent to the first row of the table. Recommendation three on this memo is a recommendation that under the revised plan would not be approved. So we ask that you not approve recommendation three if you want to go with the revision, the column on the right, because this was the recommendation to provide $1,153,000 in general fund for maintaining an in-state enrollment in the MD program of at least 75% of all enrollees. Recommendations 4, 5, 6, and 7 relate to the four rows on the table for the School of Nursing. These are four particular funding enhancements for the School of Nursing, and all of these recommendations are consistent with the revised budget plan for OHSU. They are, first of all, but the committee approved $1,723,000 of general fund to support the School of Nursing participation in the Oregon Consortium for Nursing Education Program. The university will use these funds to enroll students in their baccalaureate nursing program cited at community college campuses. These funds will allow the School of Nursing to increase enrollment in the Bachelor of Science nursing program by 100 students per year. In all of these recommendations, we're being very explicit about what the expectations are for roll-up costs. We believe it's important so that when the budget is developed 2 years from now and submitted to you, we will be able to know whether the requests are or are not consistent with what you were led to, you know, indicated what the institution indicated would be the case as roll-up costs. In this particular case, there are roll-up costs, and we would expect the cost of maintaining the OCNI program to rise to $2,584,000 in the 2009-11 biennium. The primary reason for this rather substantial increase is that these programs are phased in over time, and more students are being funded at the larger class sizes next biennium than is the case this biennium.
Steve, I have a question on this one, actually, and I think I asked you this before, but I forgot to ask. Anyway, the question is, in terms of the FTE, right, so this, the students would be enrolled in the OHSU School of Nursing, and they're physically sited at community college campuses. So is it accurate that the FTE, in other words, the students would be, they're Oregon Health Science University students, and I'm just wondering, so how did the community colleges benefit?
The community colleges would not count the students' enrollments in the OHSU classes within their own enrollments. That's my expectation. If the students are also taking some other classes at the community college, that would count in their enrollment. I see Dr. Halleck maybe disagreeing with my statement or has something else.
Would you mind, just really, really briefly, I should have asked this the other day, I apologize.
Chairman Galizio, that's approximately right, but they're dually enrolled in their essentially sophomore year, so they know they're going to be admitted all the way through. Then for the first 2 years of that three-year nursing program, they're taught by community college, and in the fourth year, they're taught by OHSU. They end up with an OHSU baccalaureate. But they are dually enrolled, and that's one of the things about the program. The community colleges teach the first 2 years. We teach the third year on their campus.
Okay. All right. Oh, can you identify yourself?
I'm sorry. My name is Leslie Halleck, Provost at OHSU.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that clarification. Did you?
I just wondered why she keeps running away.
Did you want a question?
No, not right now.
Oh, okay.
Before it's over.
I don't, because she's smart. Because I wouldn't want to be too close to us. So.
Oh, well
thank you, Dr. Halleck.
With that, too much.
Please.
Mr. Chair, recommendation 5 is to approve $1,467,000 in general fund to support a 50-student expansion of the baccalaureate and nursing degree program for each incoming class, a 50-student expansion for each incoming class on the 4 existing campuses of the OHSU School of Nursing, those being the campuses at OHSU in Portland, at Southern Oregon University in Ashland, at Eastern Oregon University in LeGrand, and at the Oregon Institute of Technology in Klamath Falls. The university will then enroll no fewer than 280 students in each Bachelor of Science nursing cohort after this program is approved. That would be the minimum level of enrollment that we would expect. This is another case, though, where there is a phase-in, and we think it's important for the committee to note its understanding that the cost of continuing this enrollment expansion will increase to $2,936,000 in the 2009-11 biennium. Recommendation 6 is that the committee approve $1.4 million in general fund to support the establishment of a fifth School of Nursing, OHSU School of Nursing campus, located at Western Oregon University. In this particular case, the university will enroll no fewer than 27 students in each Bachelor of Science nursing cohort. The committee also understands this is another roll-up case. The next biennium, when this program is fully phased in, the cost will increase to $2,577,000 general fund per biennium. And finally,
Question. Mr. Bonner. I don't have the data. Well, I do, right here. The expansion of the nursing program to Western Oregon at the 2,786,000 figure is an annual support of 17,000 per FTE. What's the projection for that to drop and be consistent with the other expanded educational opportunities that we are approving here?
There is no expectation that that will drop. That is the cost per student when the program is fully phased in. OHSU has reported that this is similar to the cost per student at the other existing satellite campuses at Eastern, OIT, and Southern. It is not, though, it will be above the levels of cost per student at the Portland campus and at the community college sites. But that is the permanent level. It is not anticipated to decline.
So what you're suggesting is, for example, the OCNI annual support at $9,700 per FTE is really not an accurate reflection of the total cost. So we're not comparing like costs between OCNI and Western Oregon?
Senator, I did not mean to suggest that. What I did mean to suggest is that the cost at Western Oregon will be higher than the OCNI cost, and that the difference in costs would be basically, or at least relatively reflective of the different numbers that you see there. These are not two programs that will cost the same amount per degree that's produced.
Representative Morgan.
Wouldn't it be true to say that the cost of the program at Western, once it's fully implemented, would be the same as the cost of educating nurses at Southern and Eastern?
That's the case, yes.
Representative
Jensen. I'm sorry for Mr. Bender, but I understand the words he's saying, but from the numbers I'm looking at here, I don't see the numbers to agree with the words.
The numbers on this table, which I believe is the table you're referring to, represent the costs after the costs in the 2009-11 biennium per resident student after these program costs are fully phased in. The Western numbers are essentially equivalent to what we would show if we showed Eastern, Southern, and OIT as separate items, their existing enrollment as separate items on this chart, which I did not do. Instead, on the existing enrollment chart or line of this chart, the Southern OIT and Eastern programs are combined with the program in Portland to generate an average of about $10,000 per student. If we had those separate numbers, and I don't know if OHSU brought them with them today, they would show that for the existing enrollment, the cost at Portland would be less than $10,000. The cost of the three satellites would be roughly in the $17,000 range. And that when you took a weighted average of those four, it would come up with the $10,000 figure that is shown on this particular page.
All right. I'm looking, Mr. Chair, pardon me.
Yeah, Representative Jensen.
I'm trying to reconcile some of this. I'm seeing the 27 students at WLU are costing $1.4 million in the first year and $1.2 million, plus or minus some change there, in the second year. So the roll-up cost going into the 09 session are going to be 2.6 plus whatever the inflation factors are concerned. At least that's the way I'm reading number 6 of on page 3.
There's an implementation issue, too.
There is, in the materials, if we look at the materials that OHSU submitted, those of you who do have your binders with you, I would ask you to look behind tab 9. There in the School of Nursing, there are tables that are labeled Draft Strategic Planning 2011. And on page 9, behind that tab, you will see the cost for developing the nursing program at Western Oregon University.
Okay.
If anyone needs help finding that, please let me know.
What is there, a page number?
It's page 9.
It's when you get to the panels.
Past all the performance.
Yeah, keep going with the performance measures.
Let me see.
Looks like this.
Now, why do we have this?
I may have an error there. I think that Representative Jensen may have pointed out an error.
While Steve's doing a calculation, the chair would say that to remind the committee to take a gander outside. It's really beautiful, and I would love to get out there. So if something's going to change your vote and you want to have a discussion about it, that's fine. But otherwise, I would love to have the opportunity to get out there. So, but this is good. You may have found out. I do
apologize. I don't know how this happened, but the number in biennial state support should be not the 2786 for the Western Oregon University nursing number. It should be 2,577,000. And the annual support for FTE should not be 17,198. It should be 15,907.
Thank you.
Thank you for pointing that out, Representative Jensen.
I apologize to the first number was what?
2,577,000. And the annual support should be 15,907.
Representative Jensen, you just saved the state of Oregon.
Can I skip that or shift it over to general government?
I'll have to speak with the co-chairs about that one.
Well, oh, okay. I think we can shift that over to the regional state, I think.
Okay.
Don't you try to grab the money. I saved it. I get it.
So what's the difference?
There's actually no difference in the recommendation as far as the text is concerned. But the difference is in the table that shows what the cost per student is.
The cost per student
is actually $15,907 at Western and not the $17,198 that was in the table.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay. Recommendation 7 is $1,008,000 general fund to support a 20-unit expansion in the cohort size in the Master of Nursing and Nursing Education program. That will cost $1,344,000 in general fund next triennium to continue that. Package 104, well, let me skip ahead if I may, Mr. Chair. I skipped number 8. For now, we'll get back to that. Recommendation 9 is that the committee note that the university would use $10,091,716 general fund for the Child Development and Rehabilitation Center, and that along with other available funds, they will maintain existing service levels for all general fund-supported programs in the CVRC. Recommendation 10 asks you to note that the committee will use $2,826,713 general fund, along with other available funds, to maintain existing service levels of the Oregon Poison Center. Going back now to package 8, which is one that I skipped over. This is for the Area Health Education Centers program. This is one that is being revised under this agreement, and as listed, this is not the correct language. Again, if you look back at your table, you would see that the amounts that are in this agreement are to provide $620,639 to restore AHEC funding. It wouldn't be quite to the 1993 level at this amount, but it would be to restore the base level of support for the regional AHECs and the central office. There's also would be $400,000 in video conferencing and online education enhancements. And there would be $132,361 for an AHEC statewide education director. And finally, $80,000 for the K-12 student health career programs. So that is different from number 8 as it was written. And then finally, or second to file, penultimately, recommendation 11. We recommend that you change the appropriation line item amounts to the three figures that are shown in Recommendation 11. Although there are some changes from the original co-chair's budget, it does not change these dollar amounts. They would still be as listed for Education and General Services, University Hospitals and Clinics, and the CVRC. We've already approved number 12. There would be a small change in one of the recommendations based on the change that we just did, and that would be as follows. If you look at Performance Measure 2, Access, for the 2009 year, you had approved an increase. This is the one that measures the number and percent of first-year medical school positions filled by Oregon residents. You approved a number of 75% in 2009. I would restore that to the original 70% that was submitted by the agency and leave it at that. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Mr. Chairman. Senator Devlin.
Mr. Chairman, obviously you can have comments after a motion is offered. Are you ready for a motion?
I'm ready for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move, if I remember right, Senate Bill 55, or first of all, I do not do that. I move the LFO recommendations as presented in the memo dated May 1st and as amended by Mr. Bender, and as also as evidenced by the spreadsheet dated May 7th, 2007, with the special notation of the amendment to the performance measures that we had already approved before.
Thank you. Senator Devlin has moved the LFO recommendations as presented in the May 1st document, or in the memo, in the May 1st document, and as updated in the May 7th memo with the special notation to the performance measures. So do we have...
Do we have discussion?
Senator Walker.
Of course we do. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was, as we were getting the presentation, I was going through the policy option packages and the different kinds of conversation that were had around those, and I'm kind of curious what we think we're going to do if we don't fund these regional positions.
We have notations here that to meet Oregon physician workforce shortages, OHSU proposes to change the model for educating physicians to a regional approach, reflected in the partnerships with OUS universities, regional hospitals, expansion of community placement sites through AHEC. We have indication here that we have restricted access to health care services because we're all growing older, even myself. We consume more health care services. We have a low physician-to-population ratio compared to other countries. And the list is endless. The Association of American Medical Colleges has called for a 30% increase in medical school enrollment by 2015. And we also had testimony that they can't do this all on Markham Hill. So if we aren't investing in these regionals, what the heck are we going to do with the doctor shortage that we have? We're focused on nurses here, but we're not interested at all in what we're doing about the physician shortage. So I'd like to know where we're going to go from here.
Yeah, Senator Walker, I think it's an excellent question.
It's a novel approach, Mr. Chair, what they were doing with this regional program. Incredibly novel. Yes. And recognized around the country for its ability to use all resources. So I'm just at a loss here to understand why we're not funding this.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that I could satisfactorily answer your question and get you to support the budget, but I think you raise important questions. And in this budget, and I'm sure in others that come through this committee, there are going to be areas where some of us think it's insufficient. I think there's also hope, and I know sometimes hope isn't sufficient, that we have, in the next month or so, we find additional funding, and perhaps this becomes a priority item, and we want to put funding there. But I think it's a legitimate concern. We can't do everything that we want to do. So.
Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to thank you, first of all, for the way that you've done this budget. I think that reaching out to all the members of the committee the way that you have, I think it's a great example of the way the process is supposed to work. And I think that there are parts of this budget that are really good. I really applaud the investment in training nurses and bringing the system, introducing more capacity in there. I absolutely appreciate the restoration of funds to AHEC. I think that that was the agency's number one priority. And from the perspective of dealing with shortages in the state, that's a great start. I really share Senator Walker's concern about the failure to invest the $7 million in increasing the expansion in the School of Medicine. I think that if we have the opportunity to invest $7 million and turn out 40 more doctors in every graduating class and actually decrease the cost of educating each one of those doctors in the state, and we don't take advantage of that opportunity, that it's bad public policy. I think that when you look at the discussions that we've had around this building with reference to the Healthy Kids program and with reference to universal coverage, that we simply don't have enough practitioners, doctors, or dentists in the state to take care of the increases in enrollment there. And until we're ready to grapple with being able to turn out more of these professionals, we aren't doing the right thing by the state of Oregon. To turn our back on a program that costs us $7 million, that would give us 40 more physicians and reduce the cost per physician, I can't tell you how distasteful that is to me. And also, not to invest $300,000 in the dental school program so that we can put another class in there. We can put one class out on a rotation throughout the state and start another class in training, and so up the number of dentists that we have there. I think for that $300,000 investment, we're also doing a great disservice to the people of the state of Oregon. So I salute you for the investments in nursing and AHEC, but because of the disinvestment in the School of Medicine and the School of Dentistry, I'll be a no vote on the budget.
Thank you, Representative Morgan. Senator Morse.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It is, in fact, a tremendous disappointment that with this, put it this way, that this budgeting process has not recognized what OHSU has brought to us, and I think Representative Morgan and Senator Walker have expressed that with respect to, in effect, creating another medical school for $7 million. That is a tremendous accomplishment, and we're walking over it. And the frustration that I would express, and it's not the last time I'll express this, is a process that so focuses on silos within our education subcommittee, to the extent that we cannot look creatively at finding ways to move dollars from one program to the next and prioritize across the broader spectrum. I would measure these words carefully. It's a process that is void of integrity because it puts us in the role of going through a hearing process, bringing agencies forward, listening to the people, and having limited ability to prioritize across a broader spectrum of needs within this education subcommittee. And reluctantly, I will be a yes on this, with the expectation that we will be looking for every way possible to bring this regionalization of educating doctors back to the forefront, that we can deal with it down the road some way. And that has to do with getting into other budgets that are yet to come. And I'll be working hard to find the dollars, and hopefully we collectively would find persuasion to move some monies back into this need. But this is tremendous. I think we collectively just don't realize what has been accomplished here with the groundwork that's been laid to regionalize this education, utilizing assets that we have in place that will, as you say, someone expressed, actually lessen the cost of educating physicians. So it's with a tremendous amount of disappointment, I guess, that we're not looking at a broader spectrum of the budget than just OHSU and trying to find ways to support a program like this.
Thanks, Senator Morse.
Representative Barnhart.
Mm-hmm. Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've been listening carefully to the comments of the other members of the committee, and I have to say that I agree with the strong comments of many people about what I consider to be an extremely entrepreneurial approach to medical education. So looking carefully at the resources that are available around the state to bootstrap a very small number of dollars to get us to a very substantial increase in the number of doctors that we're able to train. I found myself very excited about this program when I first heard about it at a conference, in a conference room at Sacred Heart Hospital in Eugene, when the then dean of the medical school presented it, now the president. And, you know, we are admonished by citizens and taxpayers to be entrepreneurial, to figure out ways to save money, to figure out ways to utilize our assets in ways that improve the efficiencies that with which we do things in the state. And, of course, those kinds of activities lead directly to the creation of wealth. This is this item that we are apparently leaving on the table today is an example of a kind of way of applying initiative to capital that we should be really pleased with and we should promote, because the long-term result is that Oregon is wealthier to the tune of $40 a year when we are able to do something like this. I thought it was an ingenious approach when I first heard about it. I continue to think that it's an ingenious approach to the problem. We can't afford the brute force method, which would be to build a new medical school. We can't afford it. No way. This makes use of assets we already have. And it requires a very small amount of additional dollars. And I find myself extremely disappointed that those dollars are not in this budget. I will let the committee know that I'm very, very reluctantly going to vote yes on this budget today, but that may be the only yes vote that I cast on this budget as it's currently constituted.
Thank you, Representative Barnhart. Any more discussion?
Yeah.
Representative Jensen.
I can but echo the comments that have preceded as far as this budget is concerned. The $300,000 cut from the School of Dentistry, it's quite frankly beyond my grasp to even comprehend how we could do that. But what we get back for that $300,000, probably the biggest waste of money that we have in this budget. The same thing is true, you know, with the expansion of the medical school. I'm wondering why the folks from OHSU don't go to Wazoo and Cadillac Hospital there and set up, since they are a private and part school, and set up a program in Washington. From what I see happening in the state of Washington, they probably would be ecstatic to have a bargain like this thrown in their direction. With the university system that's there and with more hospital facilities than you have at the two locations that we're talking about here. This is, you know, and I've been saying this about OHSU for some time now, but this is one of the really premier programs that we have in the state of Oregon. Really premier programs. To short this budget today is a disaster. It says that we are content with mediocrity. And I don't believe that's what Oregonians want. I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, I don't mean to lose harsh words, because I think you've worked very hard on this, and I understand. And I do appreciate that you've solicited and gotten all of our input on this. And you are truly to be commended for that, but this is just extremely difficult for me. As much as I want to support you with the hard work that you've done here, I just feel that I can't do it, that this just doesn't make sense.
Thank you, Representative. I don't take it personally. I think it's a policy discussion. So with that...
I had one final comment.
Sure,
Chair. I just wanted to remind people that it takes 7 to 10 years to train a physician. And if we're going to have this shortage in 2015, we're going to just come right up against it, and we're going to have our heads in the sand. And you know who's going to get shortchanged. It isn't going to be the people in the valley. Because we'll have plenty of physicians here in the valley. It's people in the rural part of the state who are going to take it in the shorts once again.
Mr. Chair. sure. That's why I suggested they might try to work a deal on the other side of the border, because that...
So, all right, with that, so the motion on the table is with the LFO recommendations, and Mr. Sorensen, will you do a roll call vote?
Frank.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Shields.
Aye.
Senator Walker.
No.
Senator Decker.
Aye.
Senator Starr.
No.
Senator Devlin.
Aye.
We saw one more.
Senator Morgan.
No.
Representative Jensen.
No.
Representative Edwards.
Aye.
Representative Barnhart.
Aye.
Chair Blasio.
Aye. So, motion carries. Senator Devlin.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 5529 to the full committee as amended with the due pass recommendation. And Mr. Chairman, if I might be the first one to comment shortly, the chair worked extensively Thursday and Friday, and I worked with him to try to get the numbers to come together. But with the parameters the co-chairs gave us, that was not possible. I think we will continue to work on the aspect of this budget that some of you are disappointed with, but realize that we probably can't fund every budget fully at the governor's recommendation at any time.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Morse?
Thank you. And I used possibly intemperate descriptions. In no way are my comments reflecting of you, Mr. Chair, or our co-chairs. But the process that we are employing in this committee is, I think I've stated, it's hard to make wise decisions across the broad spectrum of the education budget when we're dealing with just a focus, narrow focus on silos. And it's frustrating, because I believe that if this committee had the ability to work, you know, within this broader 53% of discretionary monies, or 54%, we could find the resources to do this. And a process that precludes that, I think, diminishes this whole concept of a committee process. And so I just share that frustration. I would like to elaborate and make it abundantly clear that my comments are not focused on any person, but on the process that we have. And it is so frustrating for me to have spent literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours without the ability to look at the broad spectrum of how we're financing education in this state. So I appreciate the opportunity to make those comments, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Morris. Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to adopt those comments as my own as well. Well, when the legislature is unable to deal with difficult problems, it often is the result of the structure and the process that we use as we discuss those issues. I didn't understand Senator Morris's comment and his earlier comments on the other motion, but I do now, and I agree with them. What we have in effect done by using the process that we're using today, which may in fact be the traditional process, the way it's always done in this committee. As a newcomer, it feels strange to me to be doing it this way, but it may be the traditional process. At the same time, with the very large number of dollars that this committee is going to be dealing with.
Representative Barnhart, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we're about to lose one senator whose mother is
about 60.
Yeah, and I got to get this budget out.
Thank you. I will simply say that I agree with the senator's comments. I have some additional comments to make, but they're right for now.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Thanks.
So, Senator Devlin has moved Senate Bill 5529 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Eric, will you do the roll?
Senator Morse?
Aye.
Senator Decker?
Aye.
Senator Devlin?
Aye.
Representative Morgan?
No.
Representative Jensen?
No.
Representative Edwards?
Aye.
Representative Barnhart?
Aye.
Chair Blasio?
Aye.
That motion carries. Now we need to carry.
I'll carry it to the Senate.
All right, Senator Devil.
Carry it to the full.
All right, Senator.
I'd be so happy to.
Yeah, Senator Devil will take it to the full. The Senate and the chair will carry it on the House side. All right, thank you all very much. We are adjourned.